And I just wanted to start. I understand your book, The Diverse Schools Dilemma, A Parent's Guide to Socioeconomically Mixed Public Schools, that it was inspired by a personal situation for you and your wife when moving to a new home and trying to find a diverse school for your children. And just to begin, I want to know, you know, why was that important for you, you know, given your background and expertise in this arena, to have a diverse school option for your children?
Yeah, well, so we were living in an inner ring suburb that was quite diverse, and that was one of the things that we loved about it, was being in a place that had a lot of cultural and socioeconomic diversity. We were living in a small house, and we needed to move up as our family was getting bigger, and so we were trying to decide whether we were going to stay. Our children weren't yet in school, but they were a couple of years away from that. And so we started looking at the local schools, and I think, as happens with many parents who live in more diverse communities, what we were hearing was some mixed reports. On the one hand, parents really liked that diverse environment, but there were also concerns that the test scores perhaps weren't as high as they might have been in more affluent areas, and that the school had to struggle to try to figure out how to serve kids coming in with very different needs, that because low-income children in general are coming into school many years behind in terms of vocabulary development and other skills, and more affluent kids tend to be coming in very far ahead. If you're a school like that, it's tricky to figure out how to get everybody's needs served well. So as I started digging into this for my own situation, I thought, you know, this is something that I might like to write about and share what I learned with other parents.
Let me ask you, is there a case for diverse schools? I mean, is there more recent, is there current research that says, you know, a diverse student body is academically effective for students?
The case for diverse schools is very strong for low-income students and for minority students. That we've got research going way, way back, and more recent research as well, showing that for low-income and minority students, being in a diverse school is all else being equal, much better than being in a school that's racially isolated or that is socioeconomically isolated. In other words, where all the kids are poor or all the kids are minorities. This is particularly true for African Americans and especially for African American boys, that the worst place for those children to be in is a classroom where everybody in the class is African American, particularly African American and low income. And so being in a diverse environment is just as important today as it was back in the Brown versus Board of Education days. Now, the other question, and the question that I look at a lot in my book, is, okay, well, what about for middle class and upper middle class children? What are the benefits? Here, I think the evidence is a little bit squishier. And it's more about anecdotal evidence from people saying, look, it was a very special experience to have for my children to be in a diverse school, to learn from children from other cultures, and to learn, you know, to get to be friends with kids who may not have had all the material things that that maybe some of our kids take for granted. And that children growing up in those kinds of diverse schools tend to go on to be less prejudiced as adults, more comfortable in multicultural settings as they get older, and that those are the benefits there. I have to say the evidence on all of that is not as strong, and there are these additional challenges of making sure that in that kind of diverse environment, all kids get the challenge that they need, and that's something that many diverse schools do struggle with.
Boosting academic achievement for Black males in the Rochester City School District has been a challenge for the district. How is it that Black males in particular, as you mentioned, benefit most from diverse school settings, both racially and economically?
Rochester being very typical in that, you know, experiencing a lot of white flight and having very little diversity within its schools. You know, researchers have tried to figure this out. Why does it matter how diverse the classroom is? And what most people point to are what are called, you know, so-called peer effects, that there is some benefit to being in the same class with higher-achieving students. And why might that be? Well, for one thing, they might be serving as good role models. You know, some of that rubs off on the other kids. They might be aspiring, for example, to go to college and to have those kinds of aspirations. That's helpful. They might something as simple as asking better questions in class. Spur discussion in a way that benefits all of the students. Now, there's also probably something going on in terms of effects around teachers, that some research showing that it is easier to get high-quality teachers into schools that are more diverse than into schools that are high poverty, where all the kids are poor. Those schools tend to have worse reputations, they tend to be tougher, and as a result, they can have a hard time recruiting the best teachers. And so if you are African American and you are in a school that's more diverse, it may be that you are more likely to have teachers who are somewhat stronger, and that has an impact.
I know in your book you distinguish between diversity and race and class. And I'm curious to know, do you see one playing a more prominent role, diversity in one of those arenas playing a more prominent role in terms of academic success for a student?
Yeah, I mean, I really did focus mostly on class in the book, and I think that that is the big issue today in America. What we've seen over time is that some of the racial achievement gaps have gotten smaller, but the socioeconomic gaps have gotten even bigger. Now, we know that race and class in America are hugely related, and that African American and Latino children are dramatically more likely to be poor than white students are. So that, you know, so these things obviously go together. The issue that I talk about in the book more than anything is academic diversity. How do you deal with the fact that some children are coming in so far behind, other kids are so much further ahead? That tends to track based on class, that it tends to be the lower-income kids who are further behind and the more affluent kids who are ahead. And that is why these socioeconomically diverse schools can be such a challenge. The schools have to figure out a strategy for dealing with that. One obvious way to do it is to group kids, the low achievers together, the high achievers together. But in a diverse school, that means doing grouping largely by class, if not by race. And so now you've got a school that may look diverse and integrated when you look at its numbers on the outside. But in fact, you go inside the school and it's quite segregated. And nobody wants that.
In Rochester, we have a program. I know it's throughout the country called Urban Suburban, and it's celebrating 50 years here soon. And with its mission, you know, really to provide more opportunities and options for kids from the city when it comes to education. And not surprisingly, 100% of the program involves city kids going into the suburbs and not the other way around, you know, given the district's low graduation rates. And I think what I find interesting is that less students right now in the city opt or enroll in this program, less now than about, you know, 10 to 20 years ago. We had over 1,000 kids. Yeah. Now it's just 500. And some are saying it's, you know, our city schools are more segregated today than ever before. And so I'm wondering, you know, given federal policy now in regards to diversity among the lower grades, K-12, I mean, are communities just no longer interested in diverse schools? Is it a fight that folks have given up on? I'm just curious as to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that it is an issue that in some ways has lost its salience to many people. I mean, you do surveys of parents, white, black, rich, poor. Everybody says they would prefer a neighborhood school than a school that they have to travel a long way for. And so there is this real attachment to neighborhood schools, even in places where the neighborhood schools might be very low performing. I think we're starting to see a little bit of a resurgence in interest, though, in this topic about diverse schools and integrated schools. And in some cities, at least, where you have gentrification happening and you've got middle class, upper middle class families, white families coming back into the city, you have an opportunity, maybe the best opportunity we've had in 30 or 40 years, to try to create integrated schools again. Because if you're in a community, you know, where there just is no diversity in the community, it is really hard to make this work. If you've got some places where now, you know, you've got low-income and affluent kids living in closer proximity to one another, well, suddenly you might be able to make an integrated school work and find a way to attract children from those different communities together.
I read your article about how charter schools can be a key in creating more integrated schools, and we're in the middle of a charter boom here in Rochester. You know, how can charters help end, segregated schools? I've read arguments that say some folks will say, you know what, we think charters fuel segregation. So how do you think it can end it?
Well, I think charter schools have a great advantage here in that they can be designed from the beginning with this idea in mind to create an integrated student body. For example, charter schools can decide where to locate. So they could locate themselves in a part of town where they can draw from different socioeconomic or racial groups. That's something that most neighborhood schools can't really do. They can design a program that they think will appeal equally to parents and to communities and families from these different groups. You know, they can express this commitment to diversity from the very beginning and build a staff that's committed to that diversity. So I think that, you know, they have those advantages, and you're starting to see some charter schools that are really trying to do this. It's becoming a big focus that they want to be diverse. That is not to say that traditional public schools can't be diverse, too, and can't be a part of the solution. I just think that it is harder because in many cases, the diversity sort of happens to them rather than it being planned from the beginning. They may be in a community that is gentrifying, and so suddenly there's an influx of middle-class kids, and now they have to figure out how to make that diversity work. Or, in you know, it's the other way around. There might be some white flight as the school that suddenly becomes more diverse in the other direction. So, those are certainly situations that can be managed, but I think it's a lot easier if it's by design from the beginning, and that's something that charter schools as brand-new startup schools can do.
What can public schools then do to create that more integrated environment?
I think, first of all, in the places that have had diverse schools and maintained that over time, there is almost always some kind of system in place to make that happen, some kind of enrollment system or a controlled choice system where parents are encouraged to choose schools outside their neighborhoods, where there are special schools, magnet schools, or specialty schools that have special themes, that sort of thing, and where the enrollment is managed, where the computer makes sure that at the end of the day there is a diverse student body. You can't do that by race, really, anymore because of some Supreme Court decisions, but you can still do that by class. You could do it by zip code. And so in cities that have controlled choice, you see that you can, in fact, engineer this kind of diversity, and if you've trained the staff and you've got a real plan in place to take advantage of that diversity, it can work pretty well. In places where there is not that kind of system, what you tend to see is if there's a lot of segregation in housing and in a community, then that's just going to be reflected in the schools.